Yikes. This is a podcast. I literally almost just said this is a TV show.
Wow.
Oh, I'm
manifest it, bruh. Manifest.
I'm struggling. Oh my goodness. Yo, is this racist? Comma, this is the pod. This is the podcast.
Wow.
Andrew T, Tawny Newsom, Matt Apodaca, comma, hello. We are.
Uh huh.
Period. Hello.
This is going great.
Oh my God.
All business out of the way.
I didn't think my brain was fried, but clearly my brain is just fucking fried. How's it going, guys?
Great. This is sort of like a mullet in terms of how we're doing the episode. It's up top. The rest of it's your party.
Just it's kind of a show shit.
Pineapple upside down briefcase. Mm-hmm. Business. I feel good because I have back support. I finally moved my microphone closer. Do you guys have back support? Or are you leaning forward to the mic?
I moved today because my neck was hurting from the Zoom, the work Zoom. So yeah, my neck is hurting. Maybe I'll just sit here all day. I don't know. Anything could happen.
I have sort of some back support. I'm sitting in a desk chair, so mm-hmm. it's about covering about half. It's like an IKEA desk chair, so it's not like it's the most comfortable or ergonomic chair necessarily. But it's doing. I have no complaints. Sometimes I go and sit on the couch with a cat.
Sure,
you know? Mm-hmm. That's a good place to be.
That's literally what I'm on right now is a couch. I haven't done a podcast actually. I mean, I've been on the couch, but I've been leaning forward like a damn chump.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
So you're like, you got a bowl of chips next to you. You're like ready to watch a movie.
Oh, I wish. Matt, can I tell you something? Can I tell you what I wish more than anything in this world is that I had a bowl of chips and a movie to watch right now. That would change this whole day.
Oh yeah. That'd be great.
So do I need a mic stand to sit comfortable? This is sort of comfortable what I'm doing right now.
Just sit there holding it like it's a long sandwich, like it's a long European sandwich you bought on the street or like a baguette.
Ooh, un baguette.
Mm-hmm.
French.
Just sit there holding it upright or like you're a tiny child holding a too big ice cream.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of wobbly. I wonder, is this coming out in the audio? We'll find out. Yeah, it looks like it. My little recording thing is making spikes when I wobble this microphone around.
It doesn't.
So.
You don't look more comfortable. If anything, this is giving you more to do. So it seems it's a little less relaxed.
That's true. Part of me is less comfortable. but when I put the microphone down, then I have to lean forward, and then we're in classic Tawny Newsom. Prop back, no back support territory.
Would the ideal podcasting position be on like a massage table with like a microphone in the little hole where your head goes and you're just kind of like laying down, like planked?
I mean,
I think so. For this one, yeah, because ideally we want us, the talkers, and you all, the listeners, to be as comfortable as possible while we deal with these uncomfortable topics like racism.
Damn.
So everyone, get on your massage table. Get face down on it.
Unfold it. Yeah. We know you have one.
Uh-huh. Pretend someone is massaging you, but it's COVID times. You're probably not getting a massage unless you're in Canada. Things are better there. lay your ass down and prepare to be made a little uncomfortable.
I was actually just thinking right now, there's no actual reason why we couldn't just be lying down right now.
Should we all lay down?
I mean,
we're doing this?
We could. I have a lot of stuff to move.
Okay, everyone. I gotta move some shit over.
For the sake of the pod.
Okay, let me see.
We're not cutting shit. Nothing gets cut.
No.
You're gonna
hear all the rustling.
Oh my god. I'm gonna drop my computer.
Okay.
Oh god.
Yeah, oh god. No, there's just too many things kinda you've probably heard all that. Too many wires stopped.
I feel great.
So that looks great.
That
looks really great.
Oh, Tawny's straight up lying down. Damn. Okay, hold on.
Andrew, you just moved to a different part of your apartment. That's not lying down, bro. That's traveling.
I'm not done. I just had to move shit over. I'm lying down.
Yeah.
I'm lying down.
Is this what you want? You want to hear us struggle to lie down? Or are you here for the racism.
Last week was my busiest week of the year to date, I guess, because I was shooting my episode of Mixed-ish. I almost said stupid episode because I am too self-deprecating, but I realize it's really, though my name is on it, it's really everyone on the team's episode and none of them are stupid. So my part of it was stupid, but everyone else is very good and professional.
And that's great.
At their jobs. Yeah. So it was my good ass episode of Mixed-ish. Anyway, look, I don't fucking know a single thing that happened last week. There was a big neo-Nazi rally in Washington, D.C. yesterday.
Oh,
that's what it was. That's what it was. All those dorks went out into the street without masks to protest just a regular election.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the main thing is, like, if you look at them, they are simply... I don't know how anyone could be a Republican and think, you know, I'm not on the side of the neo-Nazis. It's just so fucking clear.
Yeah.
So I maybe that's part of it, is I was like, I feel like my whole life people have been like, you can't say Republicans are racist, but to anyone who's ever said that to me, you're wrong, I'm right. You owe me an apology. They're racist.
And I'll Goldilocks it, because if people are saying that they're not racist and Andrew's saying that they are, I'll just Goldilocks it and say, no, but they're okay with lots of racists agreeing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I did anything and a bunch of racists were like, you know what? Yeah. I'd be like, wait. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Let me go back.
Yeah. I want to reconsider. And what about this? What if you were like, oh, I'm not racist, I just think, like, paying 4% less taxes, people way richer than me paying 4% less taxes is worth racism. That's more important than racism. Right. What about that? I guess it's probably more than 4%. It's probably a lot more money.
But you caring about that quote-unquote tax issue is still, compare that to the wage gap, and compare that to, like, the generational wealth that descendants of chattel slavery do not have. It's all just, I mean, see, now I'm laying down and I don't want to finish my sentences. This might not be a good
Tawny's chill. So the best part about this is, on the Zoom, all I can see is, like, a couple of Tawny's fingers. And it's holding a mic. No, don't get up.
I'm holding the microphone. We should just take a screenshot, because I'm basically holding the microphone like a pop singer or like someone at karaoke. But like when you've pulled like a crazy move and now you've laid down on the stage and you're holding the mic up above you. That's the move I'm doing.
Ever the professional. You also have a mic stand, so you could just make yourself completely, like, you know, you could be floating in, like, your sensory deprivation chamber if you want. You could just put some...
that's a goal for sure. Just float in some water, some body temp water.
Yeah, you're like a brain in a jar. You're a racism brain in a jar. Anyway, go ahead.
We buried the lead. Sorry, are we done talking about the dorks out in the street?
Sorry, they're dorks, racist. We're done.
They're racist. The cops, all of a sudden, don't care about protests and property destruction and law and order when Nazis are doing it. You do the math. Just kidding. Cops are Nazis. Okay, go ahead.
We buried the lead. We need to tell Matt. We need to disclose to Matt, Andrew. I feel like we're keeping a secret from him.
I wasn't sure how you wanted to do it.
Huh?
We got to tell Matt that Andrew cooked a duck at my house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is wild. This is breaking news.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Matt.
He did what? Where?
I went to the desert over the weekend. For
and what did you do?
And birthday celebration, and everyone was tested, blah blah blah. But
also, there were three of us. Two of us are married. It was just Andrew. So
and yeah, there were five of us, and two of us are dogs.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the dogs are fervent anti-maskers.
Oh,
they really are.
You know what? That is pretty true. Not only are they, well, we talked about this on the show last week, right? They were real bummed at the Trump defeat celebrations. So yeah. I never
they want to arrest Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, never seen him wear a mask. They definitely barked at some revelers who were happy that Trump lost the election. So let me tell you what. We put our lives in our hands hanging out with these Republican dogs.
But so you made it.
They're what's what, because I had to chase them all around my property and make sure that our several hawks did not pick up the tiniest one, Peanut.
The little Peanut. She's perfect hawk food. Anyway, yeah, we made a duck. We ducked around and found out.
And what we found out was it was delicious.
Oh,
wow.
Pretty
good. It's pretty good.
Now, is the dog Peanut... I'm sorry, I don't have more questions about this, but is the dog Peanut named after the guy from 311?
Well, I'm just fostering these two, by the way. Okay. I guess hit me up on fucking Twitter if you're in LA and extremely trustworthy and want to adopt a dog, two dogs. I don't know.
They're a package deal.
They're a package deal, and I will, if they're ever unhappy with you for even a moment, I will hunt you down and kill you.
Wow.
But
that's true.
So I don't know how they were named, but the answer is yes. Wait,
they're two
is
little
one of,
sweeties.
Is one of the people in 311 named Peanut?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's see, now the 311 heads are going to come after me. Don't come after me. I know one of them is Peanut. I just couldn't tell you which one.
They go by the fives.
Is that true?
I just added.
So you just added them. I know. I see. You didn't have to tell me, Connie. I knew.
Well, I don't know. It didn't seem like you guys thought it was very funny. So I thought maybe I would explain it.
Well, I just thought it was real.
For a second, I was like, Tani knows more about 311 than me.
Yeah. I think
conceivable,
that's,
for sure.
That's the maybe the diss. The real diss is that we for sure were like, well, Tani 100% knows more about 311 than anyone this.
And so, I was like, and honestly, that's cool that they call themselves that.
Yeah. Because I just didn't want to step in it. And so... We left you to...
Lest the 311 heads get back on our backs again.
They're called fives, actually.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting they're fives.
The fives.
The fives. But, so you had the duck. What are you eating? What do you eat duck with? What was on the side? What are we talking about here?
We made a rosemary... we made a rosemary mashed potato. We also roasted some potatoes beneath said duck. I made a simple... green salad, a salade verte, and a we had a bunch of pâtés, including a plant-based walnut pâté that I made myself. Some fake cheeses, you know, because I dabble with the plant-based life, but I did have to eat some of that duck.
You had the duck ratified
out. The whole theme was happy birthday to my husband Nate, his 40th birthday.
Wow.
We were supposed to be in France. We had this whole plan for the last few years.
Sacre bleu.
Where we were going to go back. truly.
I'm sorry.
You said it, brother. So sacre bleu indeed. We had this whole plan. We were going to go back to the Alps where we had once hiked around. We did the Tour de Mont Blanc years ago. It was like a 9-day
the Tour
really
de
cool,
Mont LeBlanc
hike. Yeah, yeah. The Tour de Mont LeBlanc. And instead, you know, we stayed home. We had more of a Matthew Perry type experience.
The whole nine yards.
Could it be any more just at home?
So no one told you life was going to be this way.
Oh, boy. We are.
What we did. This is a racism podcast. So we had a French theme. And I said, Andrew, come over here and roast that duck. And that was the extent of our revelry. Actually... The thing I really wanted to say is that so my husband Nate bought himself for his 40th birthday a bow and arrow, a very interesting looking, cool, scary bow and arrow.
Damn right.
But then also, when I brought the Amazon packages in, he opened up the Amazon packages and said, "Oh, did you get me this for my birthday?" And it was this set of throwing knives, which I did order from Amazon, but it's because they were already in the cart and I just assumed. He was like, he put them in there and expected me to order them. So I just ordered them and then they came and he was like, oh, I didn't realize I'd put those in the cart. But I just want to point out, what does it say about our life that there's just a set of throwing knives in the Amazon cart and I don't ask a question and they just show up. So anyway, we ate French things and then Nate and Andrew threw some knives and I protected those dogs from hawks.
Wow.
Happy
The knives, to be fair.
Yes.
Here's the one thing I learned about throwing knives is you think you're going to be good at them and that also that you have a sense of, you know, what direction and where a throwing knife might land. And the truth is, no. They were just, you know, ricocheting all over the place. One of them got stuck in a door that was like about 5 feet away from where it was supposed to be going.
Jesus.
It was wonderful. Anyway, knife to meet you, everyone. Just knife. had a knife time.
Oh dear.
Woo. Anyway, well, that was so wonderful.
That sounds great. I feel like two things are gonna happen. You throw me a throwing knife. One,
throw them two people.
Okay, so you're right.
I'll hand you one gently.
Then you hand me one. Actually, even better, you leave it placed somewhere where I can pick it up. I'm either gonna be the worst you've ever seen, or scarily good at it.
Yeah,
scarily good.
No one's scarily. Everyone thinks there's a chance I'm really good at this, and it is so. So I threw one of the knives so hard that the handle got embedded in the block of wood that we were.
Oh my god,
we were throwing it, but I very rarely got the actual pointy end to stick into the.
But what if
block.
The mere act of holding a throwing knife activates me and I have this like Jason Bourne level
your sleep
prowess?
Broken.
Yeah. It's possible. No one's saying it's not.
Anything's possible on this, the Racism Podcast. Let's take a break. And we're back. Oh, we took a break, and now it's time to listen to a voicemail.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm hella white. I'm from Oregon. To remind white folks in Portland of all the white supremacy in the state, I posted the text of the 1800s Oregon law banning black people. It uses the word Negro. This is not a word I use really ever, unless I'm talking about the 2016 Baldwin documentary. A friend who is black felt traumatized by this word and asked me to remove it. I thanked her for the feedback, apologized, and deleted the post. It was not the time to assert my white bro rightness, but I see the word as antiquated, maybe slightly icky, but not as a slur. But I'm a white dude. I don't get to decide. And while you were not my first stop in questions, can I truly know if I was racist until strangers critique my interactions with blackness on a podcast? Probably not. So, yo, was I racist? Bonus round. White people at protests with face masks. That's 1 minute. That's racist, right? Because, you know, the whole point. Okay, thanks. Bye.
I'm going to be honest, I mostly picked this question because I was really happy he tried to throw in a bonus round and then cut himself off.
Yeah, you're going to ask two questions, ask two, but you know you fucked up.
Yeah, you don't get a goddamn bonus round.
He grabbed that long hook, and he hooked himself right off the stage.
Yeah.
Apollo, he just started booing himself halfway through the second question.
Smashed a tomato on his own face.
Caller, you're too self-aware. I'm gonna stay there. I don't get what you're playing at, but it feels like a game that you're playing at here. I don't know. Yeah. There's something about it that I'm like, I
felt like there's one too
you
many.
Technically, you said the right things, but you're a little too self-satisfied.
Yeah, you want to be right. You want us to be like, no, this was okay, and your friend is wrong? And like, no, like, I don't know.
Which, I mean, I kind of feel that way, but also probably the caller did the right thing. You don't, there's no point in arguing it. Don't argue it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
This feels like, all due respect, caller, thank you for calling in. We love you. You're one of us. You're one of the good ones. This feels like you didn't need to call us.
Yeah.
You wanted to call us. You maybe want a podcast of your own, which is also fine. That's something you can start.
He's got all
about whatever you want.
Got a buzzer and stuff.
You can tell. Yeah, some of these calls into the inbox. It's not a question. It's a pilot. People are just trying to make a show. And this is definitely one of them. Oh, my God.
We're going to pass on this one, babe.
Matt, your wonderful executive face. That was so
sorry,
lovely.
Dear. We're passing on this one.
And the best news is your name would still be Matt. You'd be your exact age. You'd just be in a nice office and annoying clothes.
I call people older than me kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Matt's exact character.
Wait, just to take a quick diversion. Matt, are you wearing a PlayStation hat because you got a PlayStation this weekend?
Those two things, while they are both true, are not necessarily, tied together. I had the PlayStation hat. I wear the PlayStation hat sometimes. You just happen mm-hmm. to know that I got the PlayStation over the weekend, so you saw the hat. It made the connect. I see what happened, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. It's feels exciting time.
It feels like I know you're like a fan or whatever, but it definitely feels like your team, Mr. Team I Own a PlayStation, won the championship over the weekend.
Yeah.
Look, you're like,
the hat's moot because I got the other one too. I have the Xbox. So it's like, until I get the hat, no one's going to really know, but I have both.
Uh-huh. The hat's moot.
The hat
Do you ever wear your PlayStation hat like backwards and make like a little make yourself like a little Sherlock Holmes hat?
So what I'll do is I'll put it on backwards and I'll be like, I'll stand up when I'm playing and be like, those are our guys. Good job. We did it. Those are our mm-hmm. guys out there. Just like mm-hmm. a sports fan. Yeah. Look, I have
I
it.
Will I'm say sorry. To the caller.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
The who?
Just as a general rule of thumb, not posting things with, I don't even really call this a slur, but I mean, look, Baron Vaughn and Open Mike Eagle had a fantastic show on Comedy Central called The New Negroes. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine sometimes. But a slur or like antiquated language or terminology that's not yours, just don't post anything with those words in it, because why?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's plenty of black people who can post that stuff. It's not like you not posting it is burying history.
Yeah.
You know, and since you clearly want to talk about this stuff so much, I think it is worth having, to the extent that your friend has any patience for it, and if they want, like, you know, maybe talking to them or talking to someone who has time for you, like, not us, but someone else. Like, well, okay, how is a better way to disseminate this information about, you know, Portland, liberal Portland being the big mm-hmm. city in a explicitly white supremacist state. I don't know. It's maybe worth figuring it out, but again, not with us and not with your friend online.
I also, I know this goes against what I just said, but I also call a little bit of bullshit on your black friend who was triggered by that word. Like,
yeah,
I don't quite see it. I'm sure that person exists, but I am a little bit like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, maybe.
What's wrong with you for posting it?
Yeah,
I'm in a mood, y'all.
Good rule of thumb to not post words you wouldn't say or that you don't. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if that's not in your regular vocabulary, don't say it. And if it is in your regular vocabulary, hey, maybe don't do that too.
Like, you will never catch me posting the word touchdown.
Damn.
Scrimmage. Tawny. I don't use them. I won't post them. They're not my words.
And if you see Tawny say any of those things, you know that somebody has hacked her.
Yeah, I'm canceled. I'm hacked.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's to something else.
Let's move on.
Or you got
on.
Something else, Andrew?
No. I was honestly trying to vamp long enough so I could look at the time to see if we've spent enough time on this voicemail, and we have.
We did it.
We're doing great.
Let's do another one.
Hey, Andrew, Tawny, and guest. I'll try to keep this under 30 seconds. I'm a white guy. I work in an extremely diverse workplace. Before that, I have lived with and been friends with people all across the spectrum since I was like 16 years old. My mom grew up in the 50s. She got married. She quit her job to raise me. When I was growing up, she would be very appropriately racist for the time she was raised, but I've managed to change her a little bit. Good for her. But with the protests and the climate and the things that has been happening, she's been saying things to me like, well, they aren't all peaceful. Talking about, like, you know, brown people. And I know she's never had a person that's called her as a friend, so how would she know? So I guess my question is, how do I suggest that I've had more experience with racial stuff than my mother? You know, I don't want to throw my mom under the bus. Yeah, that's about it. So thanks, guys. Love the show. Okay.
Oh, man. I hope that lawn ultimately got mowed. It's quite loud. I hope the aerodynamics of that prototype space shuttle were figured out one way or the other.
It was cool that the caller made the call while they were falling into an endless pit.
You know what? I hope that pit doesn't or does have a bottom, depending on what the caller wants.
And it's just soft.
Yeah. Well, or not. I don't know.
Or not. Who knows?
So if you're jumping into that pit, you got a goal in mind, and I guess it is what it is.
And for all the punk rockers out there, we got to remember to take care of each other at the pit as well.
Jesus Christ.
That's true. You got to safely mosh. You guys are being rude to this caller. This caller is an essential worker. He clearly works in an industrial fan store. I respect him. Look. Why can't you say to your white mom, Ma, do you have any black and brown friends? Black or brown friends?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Why is that a hard sentence to question to say to your mom?
The interesting thing here is, like, the caller was like, well, I don't want to say to my mom a true thing, which is clearly she doesn't know jack shit about people of color, which is, like, fine. It's weird that would be, like, a difficult thing to say, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, am I being crazy here? I just feel like, yeah, just say the plain truth, which is, like, your mom probably means well. Was, you know, raised with around very few people of color, doesn't really see the humanity there. And that's, like, you know, not fine, but not that rare or surprising. And just then throw your mom under the bus. Throw your mom under the bus.
Yeah, and you've also said that, like, she's come a long way. She's made progress on certain things. That's great. This is good news. This is a good story.
Yeah.
About somebody who was raised at a fucked up time and had some fucked up ideas. And maybe some of them are still lingering. So, like, keep working on it. Because I bet you didn't get her to improve whatever she was doing before by dancing around shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Why the coddling? Oh, sorry. To actually go back to a little piece of news. Now I made fun of wind tunnel, but I think there's a wind tunnel outside of my window, which I'm not going to close right now.
It's the caller.
Baron Petard.
Yeah. It's the caller's mufflerless car just right outside. I did forget this news, but I don't know why I'm choosing now to bring it up. But the fucking LA Times this weekend ran their op-ed page was all letters from Trump supporters. And then the fucking bootlicking editor, Sewell Chan, I feel about Asian people who are fucking supporting white supremacy. Just wrote all these tweets about how imperative it is to listen to these people, these racists and all this shit. And then someone, I didn't, you know, really read the actual letters to the editor from the fucking California racists, but someone actually went through them and cataloged them. And it's like, there's not one fucking interesting or unique thing there. And this, like, coddling and this, like, oh, we have to examine racist or we have to, like, really know what makes them tick is, like, is in and of itself racism. Oh, and sorry, I was reminded of this because it's like, yeah, caller, like, throw your racist parents under the bus. It's okay. You can have a conversation with them and, like, you can help them change. You don't have to, like, preserve their feelings. That's all. Okay.
Yeah. Not every conversation you have in your life is going to be one that you're like, I loved that.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. Have that be one of them.
All we've done since 2016 is hear from Trump supporters, hear from the, quote, working class whites, even when they fucking won.
Yeah.
They won last time.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
the, quote, majority, even though Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. But they were the, quote, for all intents and purposes, the majority. They were on top. Mm-hmm. And all we did was listen to them and hear from them. And what could they possibly be thinking?
That's the thing I think that I hate about all these, like, journalists and, you know, sort of, I don't know, whatever, like, white supremacist enablers who think they're smart and or liberal is like, guess what, motherfuckers? Like, these racists haven't even come up with a new way of framing their thought in, like, 50 years or more. Honestly, it's the sort of the same as libertarianism, where, like, the top line, like, or, like, the phrase all lives matter, like, okay, if you approach this without any idea of history or context, then I guess it's a smart thing to say. But if you have lived in this fucking world for even 1 minute, then you are a fucking idiot if you espouse this shit. Because that's the real thing. It's like, they never say anything new. And at this point, it's on you to believe that, you know, if you believe that these assholes have something new to say. Because they haven't. They never will. Ah, there it is. Okay. I'm back. Andrew's back.
What was this call about?
Race caller's racist mom.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk to his mommy. Yeah.
I think you're doing fine. You made some progress. Keep going with that. Don't be nervous about having a conversation. It sounds like you need to.
Yeah. Keep going. Keep on it. I don't know. All right. Should we do another call?
Let's do one more.
Yeah, let's punch that last call.
Hi, everybody. Love the show. So my question, I guess also comes with a story. Oh, no, I'm making this long. But I was studying abroad spring 2020 and then had to be evacuated. But my roommate during my study abroad, like while Corona was like in full swing, kept making comments being like, oh, I don't want to be around Asian people. Like, oh, my God, we saw some Chinese tourists. Don't want them to cough on me. The thing is, I'm, like, Filipino, but in the way that people think I look Mexican, yada, yada, yada. But is it problematic if we get to go back to college in the fall that I, like, tell people that that's what happened and that's, like, the microaggression that happened? Obviously, like, when she was saying that, I didn't call her out too much because we had to, like, share a room in a foreign country, but I was like, hey, that's not cool. Was not super confrontational. Anyways, let me know. Thanks a lot.
I will just say, wow. This one sat in the inbox for a while. This one's from, I think, like early before all the other shit, before it became abundantly clear that leaving a foreign country to come to America because of COVID was probably the wrong move.
Caller, we hope you're okay.
Yeah. Yes. Sure, feel like the caller is okay. But I guess it's true. You never know. Anything could have happened.
That's true of all these calls. You never know what happened to that person after they hung up.
That's
Think
true.
About that next time you hear a call from someone that we're roasting. That they could be hurt. They could be injured. let me say this. I just hope that the caller is not still rooming with this person. I don't know how study abroad shit works when you get evacuated because of a global pandemic. But like, do you get to repick your roomie after that? I hope you got to.
I feel like they are no longer that was how I read it, that they are no longer in hangout zone.
So what do we feel about the caller, quote, telling people about it?
Oh, my God. I know. Start snitching. This is always snitch on racists. This is I mean, she's lucky you didn't put her full name and social security number on this podcast.
Oh, my God.
You know, home address.
I'm a
you know?
I'm like a little hesitant only because they sound super young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh, so what are these, like 18-year-olds? They could be 22, I guess, but
yeah,
I don't know. It could be grad school. Who knows?
They're probably 20, exactly like, 20 years old. It feels like the vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why are we like, down this rabbit hole?
I don't know, because something's got me hung up about the age of this person and how.
Okay.
Maybe I don't know what the caller means by telling people. Like, do you mean like putting them on blast on social media so that their whole network like sees these stupid comments? Or do you just mean like your mutual friends when they ask, how was it getting evacuated? And you're kind of like talking with close friends. You're like, oh, it was a little weird because I found out that this person has
You
know, I think there's a difference between trying to tear them down as opposed to just like letting your other friends know, especially your friends of color.
Yeah.
Know that they have some fucked up thoughts.
I think I would. I was reading it as, do I keep this a secret? I mean, you know, as you can probably guess, I am firmly in the fucking tell everybody about every racist thing that happens. So that's where I'm starting from. But at the very minimum, you don't, this is not like a secret you have to keep. Like, this happened. This was not just a microaggression. This was an aggression to you. And it's, you know, something that you are allowed to and I think should talk about. So, you know, do you have to make it like I would do, maybe make it your life's mission to try to ruin this person's life? I suppose not. I suppose not. But I don't think you should keep it a secret. You know, you don't have to protect this person either. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being
I think I think it feels like you don't have to go out of your way to do anything. But yeah, like don't inconvenience yourself if other people are like, hey, how's your roommate on various social issues? You don't have to be like, fine.
You'd be like, kind of bad, TBH.
I mean, that sort of like happens to, I'm sure, Andrew, this happens to you too. Like in Hollywood, like people ask how it is to work with other people. And like, there's a little bit of a like, you don't want to seem like a shit talker. But if someone does something like racist or sexist and someone's asking me like, oh, what was it like to work with them? Depending on the situation, sometimes you're like, this is going to bring more heat on me to like talk about this either like extremely famous or powerful person. Like, let me just hold my little story to myself. And sometimes it's like, honestly, they seem cool, but they did this fucked up thing. So just like have your guard up a little bit, you know, but I think it can be tricky. It's like, when's it going to do you more harm?
Yeah.
To tell about somebody else's bullshit.
I mean, I'm definitely on the other side of that in that I've definitely said shit. I've said shit on this podcast that I'm, you know, fairly comfortable saying it has hurt my writing career. You know, not destroyed it, but it hasn't helped, you know.
Sure.
I know whenever I say shit about people, I email Jordan and ask to cut it out.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and often that was like in the past also. And the thing is, it's like, it's stuff that I believe is true, but there's also an element of like focus and like, you know, are we really spending time on this? And maybe that's a little bit what we're talking about here with the caller. Like, it's like, well, you know. You don't need to let this consume you or go out of your way to tell people if you don't feel like it. What I will say, though, is that, it's also like in terms of the recommendations or how was it thing. You know, I thankfully have never worked with anyone who's like truly awful, I don't think. But depending on who it is, like, you know, there's, you know, I feel like I can speak frankly, especially if it's like another person of color being like, how was this? Well, you know, usually a white person. You know, I think I would say like, well, you know, they weren't the most enlightened on this kind of thing. And you know, the other part of it is thankfully I'm in a position where like I mostly work on shows and work for people and get asked about people that are like share my values, you know, projects that often come close to sharing my values, if not entirely. So rarely am I being asked to like literally whitewash like a fucking bigot. But I don't think I would. I think I wouldn't do that, but it's hard to imagine. It's like those people aren't hiring me, so I guess I just am not going to be in that situation very often, is my guess.
Yeah. I guess for me, I just try to weigh, like, is this person who's asking me going to walk into a shitty situation if I don't tell them?
Yes. Yes.
Or is it just like something that I don't need to go blow up my career by snitching on somebody? Matt, as a high-powered young Hollywood executive,
that's right.
When you do something offensive and somebody snitches on you, do you retaliate? Do you try and get revenge on them and ruin their career?
So what I actually do is, it's almost maybe even more diabolical, is that I actually make them so successful that they can't even imagine ever saying anything bad about me. So it works out for them, but it's actually at what cost?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what, Matt? You found the weirdest answer. That was so good.
You're a genius.
Yep, that's how I improvise.
Oh, and we've found the weirdest answer to the question America's been asking: is this racist? And the answer is sometimes yes, no. Also, we talk a lot about ducks.
Yeah.
Oh boy, lot of ducks. Oh, I also made a very fancy meal on Friday. That was my friend has this arts organization, but from this very fancy restaurant in Los Angeles called En Naca, which has been on like various TV type things. But they basically made like a very deluxe Blue Apron that was very hard to put together.
And
I did it. I was proud of myself. Whipped cream, made some branzino, seared an ahi tuna. Is it ahi tuna?
Mm. Yeah,
I don't
know. That's it.
You had tuna and branzino together.
Mm-hmm. Two different courses, multiple courses. Shit was buck wild. Anyway,
Mama Mia,
that was dope. Yeah. Yes, I said that so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of myself as a pretty good cook, but this was like fancy shit that I was like, oh, okay, I'm not.
Did you feel like Remy the Rat from Ratatouille?
No, I felt like Monsieur White Man. What's that guy's name? The skin suit who gets driven by Remy the Rat.
That's the thing. He's the one that gets forgotten. Remy does all the heavy lifting. You don't remember his name because Remy's the star.
Mm-hmm. Is that... am I imagining a Disney ride that is a, you know, scale-ish thing of a man's scalp where you pretend to be Remy the Rat and drive a man, but it's just like a patch of scalp? Am I imagining this?
Hey, you know what? I pitch it. You know, okay. take it to the Imagineers, because, you know, they're closed right now. They got time. They could build this before the park opens again if they want to get rich.
Yeah. It should, the new Dumbo ride, except for it's a humongous, you know, I would say 6 foot by 6 foot, like, patch of human scalp with like fake big hairs and pull on them to go different heights.
Yeah, that,
so call in 323-389-7223. That's 323-389 race. You can follow us at Andrew T, at Trondi Newman, at Matt Apodaca. I just want to make sure we get that in there. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're right.
Lying down, Toddy, does not have time for anyone's bullshit. And the fact that you managed to rescue us from that mountain of bullshit that I have piled upon this podcast is
commendable. I won't say I wasn't innocent either. You know, I was involved.
It's perfect.
Wait. Engineer Jordan.
Yes.
Put in what the name of the guy. Oh my god, I'm so
his name is Linguini.
Linguini. Okay, there we go.
This man has a noodle name and we couldn't remember.
Wow.
Isn't he supposed to be French?
Sad times.
What is fucking happening? Oh my God.
Yeah. At Andrew T, at Trotty Newman, at Matt Abadaka for general questions, at Yo, Is This Racist for anything to do with racism. And please tune in next week. Next week, we have a big announcement about the show. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're listening next week. I don't know when we're going to talk about it, at the top, at the bottom. Listen to the whole episode, but next week, we got to tell you some stuff.
Yeah.
We got to take care of some business.
We're teasing the announcement. Yeah.
We're teasing the tease.
Teasing the
tease. And that's all we're prepared to do at this moment. So thank you for being a loyal listener. And please loyally listen next week.
I'm pleading the fifth. Peace.
Bye.